played on the Broncos Super Bowl 50 championship team started on the offensive line for the Broncos. The show's coming up at 10 this morning on Altitude Sports Radio in Denver. Ryan Harris joins us. Ryan, it's been too long. How you doing, my man?
Jim, always great to join you, my friend. Always great to join you.
Let's talk about this deal with Bridgewater. Because I said yesterday, I said, I think they're going to make a trade for Teddy Bridgewater. How surprised were you? Were you that surprised? And just your evaluation of the deal. Because I think for George Payton, this is a fantastic deal that he was able to get Carolina to pay $7 million of the $10 million guaranteed to bring in Bridgewater.
Well, this is an A++++ deal. And let me give you those three pluses. Number one, the sign of a good GM is pulling off a deal you didn't think was possible or available. Not only did he get Teddy Bridgewater, but he got the Carolina Panthers to pay for the majority of Teddy Bridgewater's contract, and he got Teddy Bridgewater at $3 million. If anybody's upset about a $3 million investment in a potential starting quarterback or backup quarterback, they don't understand football. Number two, this is a great deal when you consider the Broncos are also in the running to get Jimmy Garoppolo, which would have cost you not only the number 9 pick this year, but probably your first-round pick next year. So the fact that you trade away a sixth-round pick, which the best sixth-round picks in history for the Broncos have been Danny Trevathan and Matt Paradis, but you got a sixth-round pick, and you got a bona fide starter who just a year ago signed a $40 million contract. And talking to some people that are in that building at the Panthers, Matt Rhule has a very collegiate mindset when it comes to coaching football. And I think Teddy Bridgewater, with his expertise playing with Drew Brees, understanding the give and take that has to happen between a coach and a quarterback, I'm not sure Matt Rhule really appreciated that. And then number three, you got a player who already knows the offense. So not only did you got Teddy Bridgewater at $3 million, not only did you not give away two first-round picks, but you also got a player who has experience in Pat Shurmur's offense as they were together for a year in Minnesota.
And he's 28. He's 28 years old, and like you said, there's no way you're going to get a competent, capable starting quarterback in this league with the sixth pick in the draft you're not going to get comparable value with a sixth round pick for what you're getting with Teddy Bridgewater. They made out really well in this deal.
Yeah, I mean, Teddy Bridgewater is just the David Thoreau of quarterbacks. He's unsuspecting, but he's a champion. And by the way, 28's the new 15 in the NFL when it comes to quarterbacks because of Tom Brady, right?
Exactly.
I mean, there's a lot of I talked to a couple of coaches who said, hey, you know, there are, you know, we look at quarterbacks now as their prime time. Their prime, you know, winning seasons are ages 31 to 38. And you can thank John Elway for starting that craze, right? But it's interesting when you talk about a 28-year-old quarterback. I mean, that's literally in the NFL viewed as green as they come.
And like you said, there's an unassuming quality about Teddy Bridgewater. He's a quiet leader. He's a guy that, you know, has had to deal with, obviously, some challenging periods in his career. The knee injury in Minnesota, he was basically on the shelf for 2 years, goes to New Orleans. Drew Brees gets hurt. He wins 5 games, keeps him in the running to make the NFC Championship game. And in Carolina, it seemed like he was able to kind of tune out a lot of the noise. He didn't have Christian McCaffrey for a good chunk of last season as well, which obviously hurts. I just think everything I read about Teddy Bridgewater, Ryan, good community guy, very, very quiet, low-key guy, the perfect kind of guy to come in and challenge Drew Lock for this job, or maybe be the answer longer term, or maybe a mentor to somebody they draft tonight.
Well, and either way, you've made it a competition in that room, right? If Jimmy Garoppolo comes in as your quarterback, Drew Lock's in the backseat, who knows what that creates. But now you say, all right, you know, Drew Lock, you think you're improving? Great. But Teddy Bridgewater's going to come in here and push you. And oh, by the way, you know, Teddy Bridgewater, don't think for a second he's not going to call new retiree Drew Brees and say, hey, Drew, you mind swinging by practice and give me a couple of pointers on what you're seeing? And by the way, hey, Drew Lock, meet Drew Brees. I mean, those are things that happen in the NFL. And absolutely, Teddy Bridgewater's a leader. I mean, I talked to two players who played with him last year. They said they cannot say enough great things about Teddy Bridgewater, that they love him to death, that he had a lot on his plate, and that not only did they miss Christian McCaffrey, but that Mike Evans missed a ton of open holes in the run game. So he really was working with a deficient offense, maybe 85% of that offense unavailable because of Christian McCaffrey and the lack of running that they did have at that running back position. So when you make Robbie Anderson look like a star Pro Bowl receiver, yeah, he's a great quarterback. And Teddy Bridgewater will have success here in Denver. And either way, he's not going to be a distraction, which is one thing this team does not need.
Altitude's Ryan Harris, former Bronco, joining us today on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. So they make this deal yesterday. It's a fantastic deal for the Broncos. They're still at number 9 as of right now as we speak. What do you think happens at number 9 if they stay there, Ryan?
Well, the interesting thing is going to be whether or not San Francisco picks Trey Lance or Mac Jones. Now, a couple of reports have come out that they're in love with Mac Jones. I personally think, you know, Trey Lance is the best quarterback, not named Trevor Lawrence, in this draft. So if Trey Lance is there at 9, I don't see any way that the Broncos pass on him. Now, what's interesting is if Micah Parsons, linebacker from Penn State, my number one linebacker, even though he didn't play last year, if he's available, I think that's the pick 100%. Also, you'll be able to, you know, trade back if you want to get the Butkus Award winner, best linebacker in the nation from God's University, Notre Dame, Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah. So I look at those three picks as that kind of possibility for the Broncos at 9, or if the Broncos want to trade down to 12, 13, get Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah. But look out for the Broncos to get Kellen Mond in the second round tomorrow night. That's a player who I believe is very talented, got better every time he got to the field, played in a highly competitive league in the SEC. So I wouldn't be surprised if they don't get a quarterback in this first round if Kellen Mond is not a Denver Bronco by Friday night.
And see, I'm with you on Kellen Mond. We did our little mock draft for the Broncos yesterday. I had the Broncos taking Kellen Mond. I really like the way he improved. He progressed. He's a tough son of a gun. At times he got the snot beat out of him at Texas A&M. I think he's a guy that could really develop into an outstanding starting quarterback in this league.
I do too. And really, at that second round pick, you're just looking for more competition. Now imagine a room, because here's the thing, Jim, and we talked about it. There were, you know, 5 or 6 quarterbacks who had no competition last year. You know, Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, and this guy named Drew Locke. You know, like, who does not fit in that category? So now you've got at least Teddy Bridgewater in that room, and even if you get a Kellen Mond, you've got the competition that you really have at every other position on the football team. So, you know, it's already clear that the departure from Elway as the GM is not just believing in a guy and giving him whatever leash he needs, but you have to put some fire under that guy, and all of us perform better with competition.
Altitude's Ryan Harris, former Bronco, member of the Super Bowl 50 championship team, joining us today on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. I still think that in this draft, they need to draft a tackle, still dress offensive line. I don't think you can ever have enough depth. You know that better than anybody, Ryan, about that situation. Yeah. And who's the guy in this draft that you like that you think might be a later-round pick on the offensive line for the Broncos?
Well, I mean, I'm in love with Slater, the kid out of Northwestern, Rashad Slater. He's unbelievable. I think he's the best tackle in this draft. But, you know, if he's around, I wouldn't be surprised if they drafted him at 9. That's how good he is. But there's a guy from North Dakota State, Dylan Raduns, I really like as well. He's a player that will give you some versatility. Didn't play against great competition, but has great punch, great footwork. Also look for left tackle for Notre Dame, Liam Eichenberg. He's a little bit stiff. It's hard for me to say about a guy that went to Notre Dame, but he's a little stiff, but he can play both right and left tackle. He'll probably be there in the second, if not third round. And George Payton said they want to get a tackle in rounds 1 through 3, or for sure 4 through 6. So look for some of those names coming across the board for your Broncos.
I know we haven't had a chance to talk since free agency and everything. Obviously, I think George Payton had a brilliant free agent period with Kyle Fuller, Ronald Darby. All of a sudden, that secondary might be the best in the NFL with Kareem Jackson coming back, and we didn't think that was going to happen, and then getting Justin Simmons locked into a long-term deal. Along with what happened yesterday, I think just what continues to be A-pluses across the board for George Payton, right?
And not only has he made the roster better, he's made the locker room better. And just the way he handled Kareem Jackson, I mean, it's so hard. I mean, think about for you and I, Jim, we're both broadcasters. If our company was like, hey, we really don't want to pay you what you're worth, what we actually have you under contract for, but go ahead, test the market, and come back to us if you want. I mean, that's a very delicate situation, right? And for Kareem Jackson to come back and do that, it just shows how wide open the door was left by George Payton. So he's respecting players. He's paying Shelby Harris was huge. That's one of those moves that in the locker room, every single player now wants to be a team guy. because you proved at the front office that if you perform, you will get rewarded by the team you're performing for. And that's going to really benefit a guy like Bradley Chubb, Cortland Sutton, provided he's healthy. Signing Tim Patrick to that tender. These are things that really make a difference in the locker room. So George Payton not only made the roster better, but he made the locker room better as well in just a few short months.
And that's something that's come up in the past in terms of, and I'm not trying to, throw shade at John Elway or anything like that, but there was a feeling at times, I think from some veteran guys, that John wasn't necessarily wanting them to stay around and didn't sometimes maybe felt disrespected in how they were treated by the Broncos in that regard. And this seems to be, like you said, a change in, hey, Kareem Jackson, we appreciate you, respect you. We can't pay you what we're going to pay you. Go someplace else. We'd still love to have you back and be part of what we're doing. The Shelby Harris situation. It just seems like George Payton's found a way to deal with veteran Bronco players in a way that allows them to feel like, look, you're still respecting me as a player and as a person, but I understand it's business and we have to move on from that standpoint. I just think the way he's dealing with some of the veteran guys has worked out really, really well.
Well, it really has, and there's been no secret in the NFL that when John Elway thinks that he's arrived at a number and you don't take it, he's not going to talk to you, anymore. So, I mean, you're talking to, hey, I love John Elway, but, I didn't even get a contract offer after helping win a Super Bowl. That's strange. Right. So there's a lot of things that have changed already in big ways that people can see, but those on the inside of the NFL, George Payton really has taken over in the most forceful but gentle way. I mean, he kept all the staff that he didn't hire instead of firing a whole staff and creating a new one. I mean, and that gives people confidence. And a lot of guys, both on the roster and scouts and in that front office were shaking in their boots, as everybody does when there's a new boss, right? And George Payton has retained talent and also retained respect of those he works with, and that's important to note.
We're talking with Altitude host Ryan Harris and former Bronco, member of the Super Bowl 50 championship team, joining us today on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. Pro Football Focus, I believe they had the roster rankings after free agency. They had the Broncos as the sixth best roster in the league. Buying or selling that, Ryan, that they have the sixth best roster?
I mean, name me your sixth best food that you like. I mean, it's always so funny to me, when they get these lists. It's just like, how do they come up with sixth best? I mean, I guess you can wear that on a pin into the draft tonight, but
sure.
Nothing matters until you get a healthy roster on the field about nine games into the season. And that's going to be the big change. I mean, they moved on from Lauren Landau at the strength and conditioning position. So how does the new strength and conditioning coach prepare everybody for the season? I mean, Jim, I had a strength coach who said, my job is to train you for training camp. I said, you idiot, I got to play 16 weeks in the NFL. Like, there's no chance. Like, who cares about training camp? So that's going to be a big piece. And whether or not that roster can stay healthy, and I'm telling you as well, Jim, everybody is underestimating how the performance at quarterback was so detrimental to 4 to 5 wins last season, which puts you in the playoffs. So you get a 10% bump in performance at quarterback, and you are going to have a playoff-caliber team provided everyone stays healthy.
Ryan Harris of Altitude joining us in the program. Of course, the draft is tonight. We'll have it right here on the team. You were selected out of some college called Notre Dame, right? I think you've mentioned that a
God's University.
God's University. I want to get it correct. 2007 draft, the third round, 70th pick. What was that like for you that night?
Oh, it was just nerve-wracking. One thing people miss is that every single person in the draft tonight, they have no idea where they're going to live and work tomorrow, right? And so,
right.
You're so prepared, you're so ready. And for me, I was just saying, please not Buffalo. I'd grown up in the cold, I didn't want to do that. But, I was told I was going to go in the late first or second round, and the year that I got drafted was the year the first round went for like 4 hours. So I watched both Godfather movies, turned it on. It was like the first pick of the second round. And I had a neighbor that kept coming in saying, Did anything happen yet? And I was like, all right, I'm getting out of here. So I was on my way to Dairy Queen to eat my feelings, and I got a call from my agent. He said, hey, Mike Shanahan from the Denver Broncos is going to give you a call. They're going to take you at the 71st pick. So I ran home, talked to Mike Shanahan, panting out of breath. My family's standing all on the porch. They're trying to ask, who is it? I can't talk about it. When I'm talking to Coach Shanahan, I hung up the phone. I said, we're going to Denver! And it was an eruption of joy. just the confirmation of all the hard work I'd put in, and it's a moment I'll never forget.
Ryan Harris from Altitude Sports, former Bronco, joining us on the program today. All right, Ryan, we're going to get off the draft tonight. We did a little thing here a week or so ago. We decided to put together the cast for the movie about the Super Bowl 50 season for your Denver Broncos. And I wanted to run, some of these casting ideas. Nobody could play themselves. Okay, so keep that in mind. So we had to bring in actors for everybody. We took a little liberties with some of these guys. Some guys look more the part, at least facially, than maybe physically match up. I mean, come on, it's the NFL. It's going to be tough to find. Unless we use NFL guys, it's going to be tough to do that. So we cast, with the help of our audience, Josh Brolin as Gary Kubiak. Yes or no on
that? That's fair. Okay. Yes, that's fair.
Okay, very good.
Billy Bob Thornton gets a vote for me, but I like what the fans are saying.
Okay, that's good. Yeah, Texas boys, I get it. Yeah, that would work. Wade Phillips, we have this actor, Blue Deckard. Blue Deckard played a coach in the Friday Night Lights TV series, and he does bear a striking resemblance.
Looks a lot like him,
He looks a lot like Wade Phillips.
Okay, I like that. I like Willie Anderson. Is that the big comedian?
Louis Anderson. Would Wade be okay with
Louis
that?
Anderson there. Yeah, but that's but the fans are right. Fans are always right.
All right. So for John Elway, we decided there was a lot of people that wanted Gary Busey to play John, but we picked his kid Jake Busey to play John Elway.
That'll make John feel a lot better.
Okay.
That'll make John feel a lot better, yes.
Okay. A younger guy. Much younger guy.
Okay. So, the much younger guy. Okay, so Peyton Manning. This was a challenge. He's like, why doesn't Peyton just play Peyton? Well, we can't have Peyton play Peyton.
Yeah.
We picked, you remember Fred Savage that was in the Wonder Years? That guy?
Yeah, Fred Savage.
His brother Ben in Boy Meets World. Ben Savage has the prominent Manning-like forehead.
All right. Fair.
Emmanuel Sanders. We decided to go, why not a guy just won the Oscar this past weekend?
Yeah.
Daniel Kaluuya from Get Out. Daniel Kaluuya to play Emmanuel Sanders.
Yep, that works. I'd also think Jamie Foxx, but Daniel Kaluuya works too. But Jamie, that's good. You guys are pretty good down there in Grand Junction.
Okay, good. Okay, so.
You say that,
and then we get to Brock Osweiler.
Okay.
The guy has a lot of acting cred here, okay? And he does look like him. Height-wise, Robert Pattinson from the Twilight movies. He's going to play Batman soon.
Ooh, yeah. Didn't he play in Tenet, too? He was in Tenet.
He was great in Tenet with John David Washington.
That movie, Tenet, by the way, unbelievable. Yeah, I'd say absolutely. Also, for those who don't know Brock, a little bit of Matthew McConaughey in him. So, but I'm down with that.
All right. Yeah, could have had McConaughey. Never thought of that. All right, just a couple more here. Demaryius Thomas, we picked Aldous Hodge, who played Jim Brown in One Night in Miami. Great, I think a really good actor. I think, City on the Hill, too, with Kevin Bacon. Mm-hmm. But Aldous Hodge is Demaryius Thomas.
Yeah, you could even go Idris Elba, Chadwick Boseman, rest in peace. I mean, it's so hard to explain to those who weren't on that team how much of a leader, a jokester, and just a solid, he's the kind of guy that all of us would let date our sister, you know what I mean?
Right.
Demaryius Thomas is 100% awesome.
Okay, we got two more here. Von Miller. This is a lot of debate about Von, who's going to play Von. And I'm going to butcher his name. But he played Black Man in the Aquaman film. He was in Watchmen as well. Really a talented actor. Yahya Abdul-Mateen. I know I probably screwed up his first name. But,
that's good. Yeah.
Yeah, but we thought he'd play Vaughn.
Yeah, maybe a Tyrese kind of guy. If you think of Fast and Furious, Tyrese is kind of that Von Miller, Hey, guys, I love Von Miller, and he is so wild. It's awesome, man. It's he's just such a fun guy to play with. Really, really bad farts, though. Really bad farts.
Ryan Harris pulling back the curtain for us today.
Quite a bit.
On Von Miller. So finally, we had a lot of others here, but we know you've got a show to do here in a little bit. We decided to cast you. Okay?
All right.
The guy that's going to play you in our film, Lee Jackson, who was the running back in Friday Night Lights, the movie, with Billy Bob Thornton. I know physically, okay. I don't think he's Ryan Harris size, but
he may have to hit up the Dairy Queen a few times.
He may have to hit up the Dairy Queen to eat his fillings, like you were talking about when you were drafted.
Yeah.
He might have to do that a little bit, but he does bear a striking resemblance to you, sir.
I like it. I like it. You know, I'm more of a rock kind of guy. You know, the people's champ. You know, I got the people's eyebrow. I've been doing it since I was 14, watching WWF Raw, you know, back in the day. But, yeah, I mean, hey, the fans did a good job. Not knowing the characters deep down, not knowing what's behind that curtain. Good job. Good job, Grand Junction sports fans.
Well, hey, what? You know, if you really feel like it should be The Rock. I mean, this is you. You're casting. You can cast yourself if you want to, Ryan.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go with the largest cost for actors to be the offensive lineman, you know, like the fifth supporting actor. So,
right.
You know, it's time we commandeer things as linemen. So I'll put a word in to The Rock for when you guys shoot this movie.
Our budget just exploded.
All of a sudden, yeah, it's just out of control now.